Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, happy Friday to you, America. Hour three of the show is upon us. I got to tell you, man, they're really coming after the folks over these face masks. The folks over at MSDNC just a few moments ago ridiculed and mocked the entire state of Florida. Said it was crazy town out there because a lot of people are not wearing the face masks, and they want people to wear the face mask. By the way, I'm looking at a photograph here. I print out a lot of materials that we use on the program, and one of the photographs, it cut off Joe Biden's head, so I only see the bottom half of Joe Biden's head, and he's got the black face mask on, which may be cultural appropriation. I do not know. I just share that with you. But it looks like Abraham Lincoln from the nose down. So there you go, for whatever that's worth. But a lot of people are out there very upset that you folks are not wearing your face masks, and they're accusing you of killing people. And I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and I'm not going to call it. I've got a new name for it. We're not going to call it a face mask on the Todd Starnes radio program anymore, because I'm just reminded as I watch the reaction here in Memphis, Tennessee, mandatory face masks. Even if it's 110 degrees outside, you got to wear a face mask in public, and if you don't, it's a Class C misdemeanor. So imagine a country where if you do not cover your head, that you would be punished. You would be arrested, charged with a crime. You would be ridiculed and shunned because you did not. I believe they call that Saudi Arabia. So really, the face mask here in America has become the new burqa. And I do. So from now on, we're just going to call these what they really are. They're face burqas. Can we do that? Bill Maine, can we get a copyright on that, please?
I would do it right now before it gets away, because somebody will do it.
Mm-hmm. Face burqas. We're going to put that on the mask. We'll try to get them. We'll try to sell those.
But Todd, wait real fast before you dash off. When you go to work out and do your afternoon exercise, you're walking in the park, right?
That is true.
Do you have to wear a mask when you're walking in the park?
They strongly recommend it, especially if you're around other people. But everywhere else, you have to wear the mask. It is mandatory, or else you're going to get slapped with you'll get in trouble with the law.
I'm a runner. There's no way I'm wearing a mask when I'm running.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be around anybody long enough anyway.
And they actually do recommend that runners especially wear a mask, because when you breathe when you're running, you could, like, your spittle could infect someone.
Oh. Or, as a runner, you could probably pass out while wearing a mask.
Yeah, something about not getting enough O2 in there and getting too much CO2 in there.
There you go. Let's go to the Liberty University newsmaker line. Good friend of this program. Follow this guy on Twitter. He's really good. John Cardillo. John, how's it going today?
Doing great, Todd. Glad we finally got to do this. I've been a big fan of your content for a while.
Well, likewise. And you've got a huge Twitter following. And we've been talking about the face mask issue. It's just driving a lot of people nuts around the country. We're thinking about renaming it. So we're thinking about calling it the face burqa. What do you think about that?
Oh, no, I think you're spot on. So I'm in Florida, right? I live in very blue Broward County. Let me tell you.
Oh, you're crazy town, as they call it at MSDNC.
Oh yeah, let me tell you how nuts some of these people are. So I have horses, and that's sort of my work. So I'm riding my horse in one of the preserves on the western part of the county the other day. I'm alone in this park. It's about a 70-acre preserve with bridle paths. And this Karen in a mask comes power walking over to me. I'm on horseback. She's about 300 yards away, yelling at me for not wearing a mask. But I couldn't even see the woman. She looked like she was an inch tall. And I see this person, elbows flailing, coming up to me. Now, most people come up with their kids. They want to see the horse, something like that. And she's berating me. And when I tell you, as far as my eyes could see, we were about the only two people in this 70-acre nature preserve. And she's screaming at me, which I'm not mandated to do here anyway. So this is how far some of these lunatics are taking it.
Hey, look, we could go on and on and talk about this mask thing, but I want to talk about politics. And I saw a post you wrote, and you are a huge Trump guy. I mean, Tucker Carlson is a big Trump supporter. There are a lot of people out there very concerned about where things are right now. And I want you to tell our listeners why you have concerns. What's the problem here?
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked it that way, Todd, because no one wants to see this president win more than me or equal to me. I'm a big fan of the president. I think he's our last best hope of this nation falling off a Marxist cliff. But as I analyze this, and I speak to, I was very close to the Florida 2016 campaign team. As I speak to people, very knowledgeable political operatives, they're very concerned. The president has people running his campaign. Many of them don't want to see him win. He's brought in a lot of those establishment players. And there are people at the top, and you've been covering politics a long time. A lot of people are making this mistake that a general presidential election is about turnout on election day. That's not where you get hurt. You get hurt when you don't have a team that's been in the trenches for 25, 30 years. They didn't start knocking on doors as volunteers on campaigns when they were 16 years old, who understand the intricacies of the absentee ballots, the mail-in ballots, who the players are, who the grassroots activists are that can go to the retirement communities and drive the elderly to the polls. The Democrats have mastered this. And here in Florida, that grassroots effort, that absentee ballot, mail-in ballot, get out the vote effort is woefully lacking where the Trump campaign is concerned. Now, the bigger problem is the people running the campaign here are very concerned, but they don't want to be ostracized. They're telling me that, they're having a very hard time getting those running it nationally to hear their concerns and give them resources. So I've been very vocal. And people are, they're slamming me. You see the tweets. I'm a big leftist. I'm a big never Trumper. But to me, that's baffling. You know, Todd, if you and I feel that every politician works for us, right? So if you and I owned a professional sports team and we're watching the coaches give our quarterback horrible advice and our quarterback keeps getting sacked and keeps getting crushed, are we not supposed to speak up? Are we just supposed to sit there and cheer and cheerlead when we see the problems in front of us? And so that's where I am right now. I want to see the president win, but I don't see how he's going to do it with the team in place. And if those of us with a platform don't speak up to get his attention to make some changes, I'm really concerned about this nation come November.
Yeah, look, I raised concerns after the Tulsa debacle. And like you, it's really laughable. I know that you're going to think I'm just off my rocker here, John, but people were literally sending me hate mail accusing me of being a closet Democrat. And
I get that all day long. Yeah.
You know, you can call me all sorts of things, but you don't call me a Democrat. I mean, come on now. That's low.
Today I was called a flip-flopper, a never Trumper, a rhino, a Democrat. One person called me a far left New York City liberal. I mean, but you take it in stride.
Yeah, but the reality here and God bless Tucker Carlson, because he really, I mean, I think Tucker knows that the president hears his show and hears what he's saying, and he's laying it out there for the president. Corey Lewandowski. Lewandowski is a Trumper, true and true. He posted something a few days ago talking about, hey, look, you cannot overpromise and underdeliver in politics. And clearly something is not right. And the campaign, I think the campaign's going one way and the president's going another. And this thing, again, I've been predicting the president's going to win a landslide, and I still think he is, but if they're not going to make some changes, we could be in some trouble here.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We just talked about doom and gloom, so let's talk about the positive. There's time to fix this. There's still time to fix this because there's tremendous enthusiasm. And if you look at the little microbarometers, right, not the polls, but the amount of people buying firearms, the amount of people applying for concealed weapons licenses. A friend of mine is a federal firearms licensee, and he told me at dinner with him last night, he said there's a 27-hour wait right now for approvals to buy a gun because the system is so overloaded. Those are conservative people. Those are activists. Those are people that are going to get out there and vote. I would venture a guess, Todd, many of those people are super voters. And that's a trend around the country. So people are seeing what's happening. But again, I'm not worried about the lines on election day. I'm worried about what's going on behind the scenes. That boring, non-sexy, uninteresting, those mechanics, the absentee ballots, the get out the vote efforts. The Democrats, look, in Florida, they've got a 302,000 mail-in ballot advantage on us right now. And that's why many people on the Florida campaign team are very, very nervous that it's falling on deaf ears and they don't have the resources. So if it were just a matter of election day, people turning out to the polls, I'd feel a lot better. But they need some seasoned, political strategy pros in there to beat the Dems at this game.
John, I want to read a quote to you from Ed Rollins, who I've known for a number of years. I've been a huge fan of his for decades. And he is the chairman of the Great America PAC, which is the top outside group supporting the president's reelection. So he's a Trump guy. And he said that the president faces certain defeat if he does not convey more compassion and focus on a message that expands his coalition to include women and independents. And this is the quote. The message is weak or non-existent. The rambling on about Biden and Pelosi or Clinton and Obama is old and tired. This needs to be about the future, not the past.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think that is spot on. And I'll go one step further. It's not that the message is damaged or convoluted. It's non-existent. We're not seeing any messaging. You know, the left, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Democrats supporting these cop killers, these Marxists, are giving the campaign 100 messaging points an hour, not even a day. They're not taking advantage of them. Ed is spot on. You know, I had this conversation with a Democrat neighbor, and they're pretty moderate. And they're actually going to vote for Trump. When I go out to the blue areas of South Florida, these people might vote blue, but they also vote, Todd, to spend money through their HOAs to have off-duty police officers in uniform and marked cars sitting in the driveway right in front of the gate to the HOA so they can go to sleep feeling safe at night. The White House isn't messaging to those people. White House isn't saying to those suburban soccer moms who are pretty much independent, hey, do you want to see that cop gone? Do you not want that police officer out there to protect your family? Because that's what the Democrats want. I mean, we are missing tremendous messaging opportunities. And Ed Rollins is right. There are ways to message to the independents to just, you know, get that light bulb turned on where they say, wait a second. All right, now Trump's making some sense here. I'm going to listen.
Yeah, and to your point you made earlier, this is not like it's the end of the world now. There is still time to fix it. And they quoted a Republican operative who said as much, that, you know, there's still a chance to fix this. We understand they've hired, you know, Jason Miller as a senior advisor, which I think is a good move. And the question someone asked, though, in this Hill.com piece is Brad Parscale the Corey Lewandowski of the cycle? You know, kind of like the starting pitcher runs the campaign and is replaced down the stretch. And that's the big question. Can Brad Parscale pull this off, or do they need to bring in somebody else?
Yeah, well, you know, full disclosure, Jason Miller is a good personal friend. So like you, I'm a big fan of Jason now being the liaison between the White House and the campaign. I think that was a great, great pick. He's one of the most brilliant messaging strategists and political strategists I know. You know, there's a cult of personality around the president. But no, in my opinion, Brad Parscale is not the right guy to be the general campaign manager. Brad Parscale does incredibly well with digital, but the general campaign manager needs to know every facet. You know, I liken the campaign manager, Todd, of a general presidential election to the CEO of a major corporation, Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan. That's the level of experience, the level of, you know, the broad latitude of knowledge you need to have to be a general campaign manager. No disrespect to Brad Parscale, but 6 years ago, he was designing websites. It's just, for many of us, a bizarre pick to run a general presidential election. Certainly a place for digital. The guy's proven to be a genius there. But I think it's time to bring in a real political strategist to take this across the finish line.
Well, and again, it's I get what the president is doing. It's about loyalty. And I get that. But at the same time, you've got to have people who know what they're doing. And if what happened in Tulsa is any indication of the things to come, they got to get their act together. John, I hate to do this, but we are up against a break. We're going to get you back sometime here. I love your insight and great tweets. And I also, are you over on Parler yet?
I am. Same user ID, at John Cardillo. I've been there for a few months, actually.
Fantastic. All right. So follow John Cardillo over on Parler at John Cardillo, and also Todd Starnes over at Parler as well. All right, John. God bless.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Good guy right there. And we'll get him back. Good insight. And again, folks, this is not bashing the president. This is about recognizing, hey, there are some concerns here. And when you see people like Corey Lewandowski, when you see people like Tucker Carlson and Ed Rollins, who is a dear friend of Lou Dobbs, and even Lou Dobbs saying, hey, we've got some issues here. It's time for the president to pay attention and realize that not everybody at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue wants him back at the White House. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Well, wow. Folks, I got to tell you, there's been a whole lot of stupid that's been delivered to the country over the past few days. A whole heck of a lot. What was it yesterday? We were talking about Disneyland, Disney World doing away with the Song of the South. What was it, Splash Mountain? So they're going to redo that. They're blowing that up. The Dixie Chicks are no longer going to be known as the Dixie Chicks. Now they're just going to be, what are they going to call? What are they calling themselves? The broads,
the chicks,
the dames, the gals.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the ladies.
The
chicks is what they're the chicks.
Chicks.
Interesting. The chicks. Yeah. So and then what? Lady Antebellum is going to be called what? Lady A. Which turned out to be the name of a black artist, so they, I don't know if they've changed their name again. And then you've got the Dukes of Hazzard's under fire. Gone with the Wind now has a 4-minute announcement talking about how evil the movie is. And now we have word that Dixie Beer, and if you are from the South, there's a pretty good chance you've had Dixie Beer. Made, brewed in New Orleans. And the announcement just coming that the Dixie Brewery is going to rebrand all of its products. So they're getting rid of the word. Want to guess which word it is? Dixie or brewery?
I'm guessing Dixie in this one, yeah. Let me go for the easy one.
Yeah. Good choice. Yeah, that's it. You win a prize, Bill Maine.
I feel so good.
So... So the owners say, prior to making the purchase of the company, we wanted to be sure all members of our community felt the brand was one that represented everyone and they would be proud to welcome back. To ensure this, we engaged an extensive third-party research to ask the people of New Orleans and the region how they felt about the brand and more specifically the Dixie Beer name. And they have... it's a very long statement, but they say that they recognize the country's in a critical conversation about racism and systemic social issues that have caused immeasurable pain and oppression of our black and brown communities. What does this have to do with Dixie Beer? What does this have to even do with the name Dixie? Could someone explain that to me? So now they are... announcing the process is underway to change the name of the Dixie Brewery. Me, I'm a root beer guy. That's that's about my limit. So I don't drink Dixie beer. But my grandfather, we called him Pawpaw, back in the day, loved Dixie beer. I've got to share one of his Dixie beer stories. It's a great memory. He was a Methodist. That's why, Dixie beer. So Baptists, they probably drink Dixie beer, but they don't tell people about it. Anyway, we're going to get into that. Folks, are you just, what do you do? How do you cope with the stupid? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show for Friday. By the way, you guys have been really good sports as we've gone through the entire renovation of our Southern Command in Memphis, Tennessee. So every now and again, you've heard a hammering and sawing in the background. We've tried our very best, and the team has done a terrific job of keeping the noise down, the background noise. But today is the final day. You might still hear a few knocks here and there today, but... Bill Maine, Monday morning, we have a brand new radio station.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I applaud that. Yeah.
I'm just so glad we don't have to worry about dust and toilets being tossed out of windows during the middle of the show. And
having lived through three studio rebuilds and been part of doing those, I know what it's like when you finally can get the dust gone for good and use what you built.
We're very excited.
It's a good feeling.
So, all that to say, during this segment, they're doing some work downstairs, so you might hear a few knocks here and there. So hang with us for just a few more, just a couple of more moments. All right, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, Steve Strang, joins us. A book came out in May, God, Trump, and COVID-19. How the pandemic is affecting Christians, the world, and America's 2020 election. And Steve, good to have you back with us today. Hope you're doing well.
Well, I am doing well. It's always good to be with you, and I'm glad to hear about all that noise. I thought maybe it was editorial comment on me being on your show.
No. That's we tried to keep the protesters at bay for you, Steve.
Thank you.
Glad to do it. You know, it's interesting. You know, these you never know when a book comes out. If it's especially a nonfiction book that is about a current event, if that current event is still going to be current when the book comes out. And that is certainly the case for your book, because here we are dealing with this virus, and a lot of states are trying to decide what are they going to do. Many are shutting down. They're telling people they got to wear masks, and it really is causing a lot of upheaval in the society right now.
Well, it really is, and there's an election coming up November 3rd, no matter what. And the book that you're referencing was actually a quickie book. I wrote it in 3 weeks, believe it or not. It's only 125 pages, and it's a sequel to the book I wrote called God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, about the very, very serious things that are at play in this election coming up. And, of course, when I wrote it before Thanksgiving, we'd never heard of coronavirus. I had a chapter in that book on why Trump must win, just mainly because of all the stuff you've been talking about, just how crazy the other side is, and we can't let them get in, or it's going to be times 10, you know, what we're experiencing now. But then there was a chapter called Why Trump Might Lose. And one of them was if the economy went in the tank. You know, at the time, it was the strongest economy we'd had in recent memory. You know, all the numbers, some of them were just absolutely off the chart. And in 3 weeks, the economy lost all the gains that Donald Trump, you know, had made in 3 years. Now, thankfully, it's bouncing back. And one of the points I make in both books is that Donald Trump is a very strong leader. You know, this is what some of the deep state people don't like, because they can kind of control whoever's in the office of the presidency. This is what we're fearing with if Biden gets in. You know, it kind of doesn't matter if he can't put two sentences together. People are just going to tell him what to do, and he'll do it. But Donald Trump is a strong leader. Now, we never thought about a pandemic. And the pandemic will be behind us at some point. Life will go on. But the issues in our country are going to be there. And basically, it's very, very strong. And it's not just Republican, Democrat. In fact, we're seeing more and more that the Republicans and Democrats are alike, except on a few key issues. And it's really this outsider that we Christians believe that God has raised up just because things are so bad. And my book, both of them, because I really say the new book is a sequel to the other one. They're not identical, of course, but it kind of picks up where the other one leaves off. And Christians in particular, those who try to live by the Bible, who believe in the Judeo-Christian basis of our country, we're under attack. Our values are under attack. You know, and one of the things that this whole COVID-19 thing did was it showed how quickly people in power, almost all of them Democrats, were to shut down churches. They said that churches were not essential. I go into this in the book in some depth. You know, the commercial you just had on the abortion, you know, abortion clinics were considered essential. Now, how can something called choice be considered essential? Liquor stores were considered essential. Churches weren't. There were ministers who were actually arrested for having drive-in church where the people sat in their cars with the windows up. I mean, it's just crazy what's happened, and it happened so quickly. And frankly, most of the Christians, most of the churches just very quietly went along with it, you know, shut down very easily. The authorities were able to see how quickly people would give up their rights, because we have constitutional rights. We have constitutional rights to go to church. A liquor store has no constitutional right to be open. That's just one example. So I hope that my book, both of them, help open people's eyes. And that's the response I'm getting, that a lot of people are confused about what they see in the media. Even in conservative media, they don't talk about the spiritual aspect. As a Christian, I believe that the spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm that we are that we see with our five that we experience with our five senses. And my hope and prayer in writing these two books, Todd, was it will motivate Christians and other conservatives to go out to the polls, because this is absolutely the most important election in our lifetime.
Well, it is. And that's evidenced by what we're seeing in the streets of American cities right now, Steve. This is the fruition of Obama's promise to fundamentally transform America. And we're looking at young people, a generation of young people who have been radicalized. They've been taught that America is bad, that our culture is evil, and that it has to be stopped. It has to be destroyed. And that's what we're seeing here with Black Lives Matter, a Marxist organization that is hell-bent on turning this country down the path to socialism. And that's what's happening here. And to your point, that's why this election is so vitally important.
And I believe that we also need a strong leader at this time. And there's nobody stronger, in my opinion, than Donald Trump. How in the world he puts up with this? And it's just unrelenting. They try one thing and then it's something else. You know, one of the things he did that actually attracted him to a lot of people was he stood up to this political correctness. And they actually were losing ground. Now the political correctness is like, I don't even know how to say it. It's just exponentially stronger, where now you can't even have a statue. You can't even call something Dixie. I mean, that is, and now even conservative type people are going along with it. You know, nobody wants to offend anybody. And as a Christian, we believe you shouldn't offend people. Of course, that's not Christ-like. But the things that are offended, you know, they don't care about offending us, or saying that we can't go to church, or, you know, there are a lot of other examples. But the political correctness, where they can just sort of, and you said it, you referred to it a minute ago, where you said that they're trying to fundamentally change America. It's like they don't even know American history. And, you know, they're against people like, you know, great presidents like Washington and Jefferson, you know, who were men of their time. And unfortunately, they were slave owners. But we can't judge people of a different century by whatever our current values are. Hopefully, people grow and change. Hopefully, America's grown and changed. America knew that slavery was a horrible evil. That's why we fought a bloody civil war. That's why we had the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. That's why we had a civil rights movement. You know, I grew up in the segregated South. I went to segregated schools until I was in high school. As a kid, I could see it. I didn't approve of it as a kid. I didn't have much to say about it. It was sort of during the civil rights movement, and in my own way, I participated in it by writing editorials in the school, high school newspaper. But that was really systematic racism. It really was. But we've gotten rid of all that. Now, is there still prejudice in our country? Of course. But there's prejudice on both sides. There's horrible prejudice against Christians that never existed before.
Well, that's and, fair. Yeah, that's a fair statement.
And it's not just average Americans. It's these leftists. It's these anarchists. And a lot of people don't realize that that some of the concerns that are probably legitimate, especially about police brutality, have been taken over by the anarchists. They've been looking for anything to stir up some kind of civil unrest. It's like they're trying to foment a revolution. I never thought I would live long enough to see this happen in America. In fact, you and I can remember when the Berlin Wall came down. And I thought we would have the Cold War between America and Russia our entire lives. Now socialism has come back with some kind of vengeance. I mean, there's people running for president who are avowed socialists.
Yeah, and this you gotta is let me jump in here, Steve. Let
God,
me jump in.
Trump in the 2020 election. I believe as a Christian that God has a will. I believe that God has a plan for America. A lot of Christians are praying that things are going to turn around, but it's going to come around not at the ballot box, but as people's hearts change. However, we have rights as Americans to put into power at through elections who we want. And I think at this very critical moment, Donald Trump is the right man at the right time. And I believe that somehow God's hand is on this man. I think just the fact that he can put up with all of these attacks indicates that there's some kind of divine protection. And the people who read the book will see things. I try to explain it. I try to let the reader make up their own mind, but we'll try to see things through a spiritual perspective that you don't get in the secular media and the secular culture.
All right. Steve Strang, author of God, Trump, and COVID-19. Steve, thank you very much. Folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Let's get right back to the phones. Little Rock, Arkansas. Robert, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Robert. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Mr. Todd. Appreciate your show as always.
I wanted to chime
in about that. You was talking about Black Lives Matter and how that you and I are certainly agreed that all lives matter. And I just want to make this statement. You know what determines the value of somebody?
What's that, Robert?
That's what somebody's willing to pay for it. And that's how we know that all lives matter. Because Jesus was willing to die for everybody. And that's what determines the value of somebody, that what somebody would give for it. And then when we come to America, you think about all the men in our military and women, too, who have given their lives so we can enjoy the freedom that we have today. That tells you that they placed a pretty high value on it. Wouldn't you agree?
I think that's a pretty fair assessment, Robert. And when you think about it for a moment, I mean, there's a very good chance that a black man and a Hispanic man, an Asian man, a white man lost their life, gave their lives, sacrificed their lives so that I can sit behind this microphone and share my opinion with the rest of the country.
Yes, sir, they did. They sure did. But that you know, some people fail to, I think, understand that what determines the value of someone is what somebody's willing to pay for it. And you know, like I say, whether it's our freedom that's been paid for by the blood of so many fellow citizens, or whether it's our spiritual freedom paid for by Jesus, it says that we're valuable. And, you know, it'd be great if people would understand that. Yeah, that, you know, certainly a black life matters, but so does a red life and a brown life and a white life and, you know, whatever shade of melatonin or whatever it is that they have, skin tone. We've all got some value, and it'd be great if we could get back to that. And I just, from what you said earlier, I wanted to chime in and remind your audience of that, and I sure appreciate the platform that you give us to be able to say such a thing.
It's a good word that you shared, Robert, and thank you for doing that, and we appreciate you, and have a good weekend.
You too, Mr. Todd. God bless you.
All right, God bless. I've got time to tell the story about Dixie Beer and my grandpa. So my grandfather loved Dixie Beer, and my grandmother, who was a good church-going United Methodist, was very upset because she was a teetotaler, and she never wanted to let my grandfather, who we called Pawpaw, there was Meemaw, my grandmother, and Pawpaw, my grandpa. And she would only let him drink one Dixie beer a week. That was it.
A week.
A week. One Dixie beer. That's all she allowed him to have. And so my grandfather, he was a character. He loved to play golf. He was always out on the golf course, and he enjoyed golf. And so one of his buddies says, "Well, you know, If you're Mrs. Starnes, if she's only going to let you have one Dixie beer a week, then what you could do is you could cook with it instead." And that's what my grandfather did. So he started, he'd put a can of beer and spaghetti, Dixie beer spaghetti. He'd put it in the cornbread in place of water. He would put it in the pancakes. We'd have Dixie beer pancakes.
Oh, my gosh. Those are very fluffy pancakes. That's a lot of CO2.
Very fluffy. Very fluffy.
Oh, my word. Wow.
I never understood until years later why the whole family was burping so much after breakfast. You'd get a stack of pancakes.
Never had a pancake with a head on it before, but sure, why not?
That's Is that froth on your pancakes? What's going on there?
And why some of the Starnes men and women had difficulties getting and going to school and work sometimes of the day, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a little awkward at Sunday school on Sundays.
Yeah,
so when we were visiting the grandparents.
Wow.
But there you go. You know, guys, it's really silly, you know, we're in a silly season, but it is so important for us to stand up and put a stop to this nonsense and call it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, Dixie, that's just silly.
You know, a couple of years ago, they did change the name of at Dollywood, the Dixie Stampede Saloon or whatever it was, diner.
Yeah.
They changed it to Dolly Parton's Stampede, which what they call it now.
I mean, that's fine with me. I mean, it was her show anyways.
Yeah, but
does anyway. The South still win?
I've never been to Dollywood.
Really?
No, never have.
Wow.
I need to go.
Have you been to Pigeon Forge?
Oh, yeah, I've been to Pigeon Forge. Yep, sure did. Spent the night there.
That's like Redneck Riviera right there. It's like Redneck Vegas.
I think I went to I've been to Dolly World once, and when I was younger, this is the only reason I've only been once, is because when I was younger, I was deathly afraid of clowns. I hated them.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, we're at Dollywood just walking around the park, and these two clowns on stilts start walking by, and it scared me so bad we had to go home. It was not fun. I did not enjoy
that's
it.
Not good. That's
that
not
and it
good.
Rained.
So you don't like
there.
Clowns?
Well, now
I've got
fine.
A great. Oh, well, I have a great clown story to share with. I'll have to share that off air.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay.
I'm not a big fan of the clowns. The clown people are very nice, but I have a problem with
them.
So it is what it is. All right. That music means we got to scoot out of here, drink some Dixie beer. Look, been a great week. Want to thank Bill Main, our good friend JP, booking some great guests. Call screener Avery. It's been a lot of fun. Folks, you get out there. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.